This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
If you don't already have the church app, you might want to go ahead and download the church app, because the sermons are always posted on the sermon notes, that is, are always posted on the church app. And today, as we continue in our talk on the joy of salvation, I want to talk very briefly this morning on the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. And as I begin today, I want to start by saying this, that there is a deep desire, a very strong desire in every human being to be happy. I've not met anybody that says, I'm just looking for opportunities just to be sad in my life. Everybody is seeking an opportunity to be happy in their life. In fact, there's a movie starring Will Smith, I don't know if you have seen it, In Pursuit of Happiness, pursuing the American dream and whatnot. You know, so there is a desire in every human being to want to be happy. And if you notice that when you hang out with certain people or certain crowd, they make you sad, you tend to avoid that crowd. Yes? Am I weird? Am I the only one that does that? You want to avoid anything that will just, suck out your joy. Anything that steals your joy. You don't want to hang out around such things. And that is the reason why many people, in pursuit of happiness, we pursue all kinds of things. Many people believe that if I am successful, I will be happy. And that is true to some extent. Some believe if I excel, I will be happy. That is true. Amen. Some people, Sister Yasmin was talking about marriage, people getting married for the wrong reasons. Because it's well, everything in my life is working out well already. The only thing is marriage. Maybe if I just marry, my joy will be full. Well, some people have found out otherwise. Praise the Lord. So every heart, every life, every person is seeking an opportunity to make their lives better. You want to be happy. You want to enjoy your life. Some believe that financial prosperity will do it. All of these things are good and can give you a lot of happiness, bring you a lot of happiness. But many people that have accomplished all of these things have found out at the end of the day that it is not enough. Financial prosperity is not enough. Amen. Marriage is not enough. In fact, some people have found out that marriage complicated their lives. I think I was, somebody say yes, so. I was better off when I was not married. When I could decide to do what I want to do, go where I want to go. Nobody was telling me what I can do or what I cannot do. Amen. 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 The pursuit of happiness, there's nothing wrong with it, because there is a thing in us that just makes life better when all things are working out well. And that is why today I want to talk about the fullness of joy. Our scripture of the month talks about Psalm 51 verse 12. It says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." Last week I told you how my friend saved me and redeemed me from shame. The salvation is talking about is not the joy of my salvation. A number of people, when they quote that scripture, they quote it incorrectly. It says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." My salvation cannot save me. It's the joy of his salvation. It says, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." That's our scripture of the month. And that tells you something right quick when you read that scripture. You don't have to be a Bible teacher to know that. If he says, restore to me the joy of salvation, it's simply saying, I have the joy, but I lost it. I have the joy, but I lost it. For David, he lost the joy of the salvation of the Lord because of sin. And peradventure, you are here today, you are just coasting along. It's happened to me before. I know exactly how that feels. You still feel saved. You still feel born again. But there is active sin in your life that you just cannot enjoy the fullness of the joy of the Lord. Amen? The thing to do with that is to just leave sin alone. Somebody say amen. Amen. Leave sin alone and your life will be okay. Amen? So our text for today is going to be taken from Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. But I like the King James Version here a little better because it supports our title. It says, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. One of the things people say, especially when it comes to joy and happiness, is you get happy when good things happen. That is true. Amen? When things happen, you know, you just bought a car or you just bought a house, you just got married, you know, something wonderful, something you anticipated just came through for you. When that happens, you are happy. And that is true. But it does not mean, anyway, let me continue. Let me backtrack. I want to jump ahead of myself. So when that happens, that is true. And then people say that one of the differences between joy and happiness is that joy is a fruit of the Spirit and happiness is not. That is not true. When you read the text in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, can you pull it up? Galatians 5, 22. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on and so forth. The word joy there, in some other translation, is translated happy. If you look at the CEV translation, for example, it says, please stay on verse 22. Say that the fruit of the Spirit is love, happy, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, so joy, is somebody listen to me? Joy is a deep state of happiness. It's a deep state of happiness. You know, when your happiness has transcended a level, then that is joy. When you are joyful, happiness is in the mix. But you can be happy and not be joyful. Because joyfulness is a deeper level of happiness. Let me give you an example. When you sleep, there's two types of sleep. In sleep, you transition from one to the other. There's a non-REM sleep and there's the REM sleep. The REM sleep is the deep sleep. That's when you dream. You dream. When you are in REM sleep, you are not easily awoken. Some people say, I'm a light sleeper. It's not a good thing. That I'm a light sleeper is not a good thing because it means you are not sleeping deep enough. When you sleep deep, one of the benefits of the REM sleep over non-REM is REM sleep is more restorative. You feel fresh. You feel refreshed when you wake up. If you sleep through the night and you did not get into REM, when you wake up, you are kind of tired. How many people can relate to that? Okay. So, joy is happiness in overdrive. Happiness in overdrive. So, joy at what non-REM is to sleep is what happiness is to its relationship with joy. So if happiness is non-REM, then joy will be REM sleep. Does that make sense? is a deeper state of delightful pleasure. In fact, that's how the dictionary defines it. It's like a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That's the definition of joy. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So joy, like I said, is happiness in overdrive. Happiness in at its best level is what joy is. And our scripture, our text for this morning, it says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. You know, the first thing that should cross your mind there is joy that may not be full. So I may have joy, but it's not full. So your joy can be three quarters. It can be half full. It can be a little. It can be somewhat joyful. But what it's saying is that in God's presence, you have the fullness of joy. Let me give you an example of joy that is joy, but not full. How many of us know the story of Naaman? Naaman in the Bible. His story is in 2 Kings chapter 5. You read from verse 1. Naaman, let's read it real quick. Naaman, the king of Aram or Syria, had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him, the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. I want you to, if the Bible you have is your own, underline the word but. They talk about his accomplishments. Everything a person can wish for. He had the admiration of the king, of the commander-in-chief. He himself was a commander of the army. He was probably the most decorated officer in that army. He was a successful man. He's won so many battles. And the scripture says, but. May I prophesy over you this morning? That every but in your life, God will remove.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you saw Naaman dressed up for battle, his kind of leprosy must have been the one that didn't really get to his face. People saw him, but they didn't know what was under the cloth. You come to church, you are happy. You smile with everybody. Oh, praise the Lord. You do everything. But you are the only one that knows what is under the cloth. So the question this morning is, what is under the cloth? What are you covering? It's not like you are trying to cover up, you know, but you are happy, but you are joyful, but every but the Lord will remove.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I put it as he dresses up good to cover his butt. Nonetheless, it was there. If no one knows about the butt in the life of Naaman, Naaman knew. Naaman was not confused about his leprosy life. The worst thing that can happen to any human being is for that individual to have a problem and not realize that they have a problem is a worst thing that can happen to anybody. And that is why it's important from time to time for us to appraise our lives and ask people that have influence or authority over you, perhaps people you are in the same department together, or your head of department, your minister in charge, your pastor in charge, or myself, the senior pastor. Ask people that can tell you the truth about your life. Amen? Because to have a but, and because you have chosen to ignore it, does not mean it will go away. I tell people always, a wound that you do nothing about is going to become gangrenous. When it becomes gangrenous, they will have to amputate to save that life. Naaman was everything you will wish to be, but but. God will remove your but. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In 2 Kings chapter 6, I want to give the example of one of the kings of Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the Bible says Samaria was under a siege. The nation was under a siege. And things got so bad. Listen to this. Things got so bad that two mothers made a deal. He said, we will kill my son, eat him today. And when we are done tomorrow, we will kill your son and eat tomorrow. So this foolish woman agreed for them to kill her own son. So they ate the son. Everybody's happy. And then the next day when it was time to kill the other woman's son, she said, who's I? She said, not my son, no. Perhaps the Lord will turn the captivity around today. We are not killing my son. You know, so they started fighting. And as they were fighting, the king was walking down the street, all dressed in his royal apparel, and is walking down the street. And listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 29 and 30. So I gave you the background so you can understand as we continue. It says, so we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, kill your son so we can eat him. But she has hidden her son. When the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. And as the king walked along the wall, the people could see that he was wearing burlap under his robe next to his skin. The burlap there is talking about sackcloth. Sackcloth. So even though the king looked beautiful on the outside, the king was wearing his royal apparel, but under, somebody say under. Hidden under, he had sackcloth. Our faces look pretty on Sunday because, you know, like I've said many times in the past, if Hollywood ever gets, they have shortage of actors and actresses, they can come to church and recruit. Oh, because we know how to keep everything under. Yes, under. And it's not a bad thing, not necessarily. The king was able to keep it under until something happened and he couldn't take it anymore. He rent his clothes and what was under was revealed. Whatever is causing you to mourn today, whatever on the inside is stealing and sapping your joy, I speak to that thing in the name of Jesus. Say, the Lord will arise for you. I said, the Lord will arise for you. The Lord will deliver you. Your joy shall be full. In the name of Jesus, over your life, your joy will be full. Over your family, your joy will be full. Over your career, your joy will be full. Over your children, your joy will be full. Over your marriage, your joy will be full. In the name of Jesus. He looked good. He looked royal. On the outside, he looked royal. But deep under, deep inside, he was wearing sackcloth. Listen to me, people of God, as I begin to kind of put all of this together. What gives us joy? Is everybody listening? Your fullness of joy is not dependent on your circumstances and your situation. Amen? Amen. The Bible talks about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. It says they brought him to the scribes because he had been accused of heresy. And he began to speak, and he was speaking, and he was speaking, and he was speaking. The Bible says when they heard him, they were even angry the more. There was a mob around him, and I'm sure he had a good feeling the end had come for him. But guess what? His joy was not in his circumstances. His joy was in the Lord. The Bible says, in spite of everything that was around him, everything that surrounded him, listen to this, in Acts 7:55 and 56, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens opened. And the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at the right hand of God. What made Stephen tick was not his circumstances. Part of the problems we have, and that's why I said, Sister Yasmin laid a very good foundation for me. She said, what are you in it for? Why are you a Christian? Are you in this for prosperity? Are you in this for what you can get? Or are you in this for what he has done? Amen? The Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the joy of having a new house, which is good. I just got a new house. I love it better than any house I have ever lived in. I will never trade this house for any other house that I've ever lived in. I'm careful with my words because it can take me higher. Hallelujah. I love my new car. It is better than any other car that I've ever owned. But my joy is not in the car. Yes, sir. It means you can take the car away, you can take the house away, I will still be joyful in the Lord. The first house I bought in the United States of America, I lost. It was going to be forfeited, but I did what they call a short sale. Lost about $40,000 in the process. I was the pastor of this church at the time, but it didn't steal my joy. I remained pastor. I remained happy. I still loved my wife. I didn't love my wife less, and I doubt she loved me less either. We grew in the Lord. You know why? Our joy was not focused and centered on stuff. Reason many have become sad and weighed down today is because their focus is on stuff and not on the real deal. The Bible tells us that Philip, if you are following the note, number one in his presence is fullness of joy. Your problems are inconsequential in his problem, in his presence. Number one is Stephen. Number two is Philip. The Bible says there was persecution in Jerusalem. And because of persecution, they all scattered all over the place. And that's how Philip found himself in Samaria. Philip, a Jew in Samaria. That's awkward. If you know Bible history. Philip found himself in Samaria, and listen to this. Because of Philip, there was great joy in the city. I told the workers this morning, you can teach what you know, but you can only reproduce who you are. If it's teaching, you read a material, you study it very well, you can teach it. Anybody can teach. Anybody can teach. But when it comes to producing, you can only produce who you are. If Philip didn't have joy, he couldn't reproduce joy in that city. Amen? The Bible says, and there was, Acts chapter 8, and there was great joy in the city. Why? Because of a man that was chased to the city because of persecution. The Lord will help us. Amen. Say, the Lord will help us. Amen. One man that was acquainted with grief, acquainted with sorrow, maybe not so much sorrow, acquainted with being dealt with, was a man called Paul, the apostle. Apostle Paul. Number three there is Apostle Paul. He wrote a letter to the church at Philippi, and while he was writing this letter, he himself was in prison. And that epistle that we know as the book of Philippians today is known, the theme in that book is joy and rejoice. And he was writing from prison. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when you have entered into him, when you are in him, your environment does not determine what happens to you anymore. When you are not fully embedded in Christ, then you act like a thermometer. A thermometer responds to its environment. If it's cold around the thermometer, the temperature goes down. If it's hot around the thermometer, the temperature goes up. But when you are in Christ, fully grafted into Christ, you become a thermostat. So even though your environment is hot, you can regulate it for it to be optimal. If we turn off the ACs this afternoon, nobody will be able to stand it in here. You know why? We'll be reading the temperature. But the thermostat is in place and it's been set at a temperature and is maintaining the temperature. Your joy will be constant when you are in Christ. Amen? So the question then is, how do I access the fullness of joy? How do I access the fullness of joy? Very quickly, listen to this. Number one thing you must know, our text, Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, it will show you the path of life in his presence. Somebody say, in his presence. In his presence. In his presence is the fullness of joy. God is the source of joy. You want full joy, you can only find it in the presence of God. And it does not mean you have all that you need. All your needs are not met. You are in God's presence. Trust me, you will be joyful. There's nobody that is looking forlorn in heaven. You know, they're just wondering. No. In heaven, everybody's happy. They are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I had to stop the choir this morning. They don't stop in heaven. They are forever rejoicing and singing and dancing. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. The full joy, you want to experience full joy. Trust me, your husband cannot give it to you. Oh, neither can your wife give it to you. My wife told me many years ago, she said, honey, I don't want you to take it badly. But I have figured that you are not the source of my joy. I was upset. I really was. Because makes me feel, being the man, you know, I should make you everything. She said, what I observe is when you are the source of my joy, it means when you are down, I'm down. When you are up, I'm up. When you are shaking, I'm shaking with you. He said, but if God is the source of my joy, at least when you are down, I can bring you up. I said, that's a better deal. Don't let me be the source of your joy. So that when I am down, at least you can help me back up. And when you are down and God is the source of my joy, I can pull you back up as well. God is the source of joy. You want the fullness of joy? Trust me. That contract or whatever it is you are believing God for, he will give it to you. You will still not be, your joy will not be full. Because your joy is not designed to be in things. Anything you can see is temporary. Can you preach that to your neighbor? In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. So to access the fullness of joy, A, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It says, you will show me the path of life. And then in John chapter 1 verse 4, it says, in him was life and the life was the light of men. Jesus is that life. Jesus is that light. Jesus is that access that you need. You give your life to Christ. You dwell in his presence. Your joy will be full continually. B, after you have given your life, many people don't have problems giving their lives. This B part is where they have a problem. To abide in Christ. You have to abide in Christ. Listen, John 15 verse 5. John 15 verse 5. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What fruit? The fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He said, when you abide, have you ever seen a branch that is broken off a tree? It's broken off, it's not completely broken off, it's just hanging loose, but it's not really connected to the stem anymore. What happens? It withers and dies. See, finally, a lifestyle of purity. Go and sin no more was what Jesus told that woman caught in adultery. He said, go and sin no more. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 and 18, it says, therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will come to you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Friends, please rise to your feet. All the money in this world cannot buy you full joy. All the career achievements in this world cannot give you full joy. You will be happy for some time, but then after that, you'll be seeking something new, something better. Why? Because you will always find out that there is somebody that is better than you. You will always find out that there's somebody richer than you. You will always find out there's somebody more anointed than you. Whatever it is you have gotten that you pride yourself in, you will see there's somebody better. And the thing in us as human beings, you want to be better. You want to be better. Full joy is only found in the presence of God. Please bow your hearts this morning. Bow your hearts, bow your head, with every eye closed. Just talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Friends, money is good. Money is good. Money is the vehicle that carries the gospel around. Money is good, but it doesn't satisfy. Success in any area is good, but it doesn't satisfy. You always find yourself yearning for more. You want more. You want more. You want more. You want more. Fullness of joy is only possible in God's presence, in Christ Jesus. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you abide in Christ Jesus, and you continue to live a life of purity, your joy will always be full, regardless of what your circumstances are.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.
Father, we thank you. Jehovah,